the bloodthirsty, half-man, half-snake hybrid, said to lurk under Robinson's Galleria Mall, which devoured young women through a Wile E. Coyote-style trapdoor in the mall's dressing room. I mean, how far are we suspending our disbelief? Right? What if he's a hermaphrodite snake and he lays and fertilizes his own egg?
I'm just a supernatural investigative journalist over here trying to understand the parameters of this world building.
Also, snakes are very cuddly.
See, they will cuddle you to death.
Yes, if you don't feed them.
Young adult fantasies swept away by the sexy snake guy who is
evil,
but not really that evil. Like,
but also rich.
Yes. Just wants to be, you know,
where the people are.
Where the people are. Welcome to
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
This is a podcast on Philippine mythology and folklore, and we're very excited for a very interesting topic that I don't think we've really seen or heard much of.
No.
In pop culture, there are a few here and there, right? I don't know, can I just tell you, I don't know anything about this.
Really. Oh, really?
Like I'm very, excited. Very passing understanding of what it is.
I thought I knew something about it, but I found out I learned so much more, which is always the case with these topics that I think I'm an expert in it. And then you do a little bit of reading and then you realize there's so much more to it. So we're going to talk about Kambal Ahas, or mystical snake twin.
Maybe as a year of the snake girl, I can relate to it. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
No, it's really cool. I mean, it is part of my growing up, like in my zeitgeist when I was growing up. Because when I was growing up, it was a lot, you know, you'd see when you're on the street in the traffic in Manila, people are selling tabloids on the street.
Okay.
And tabloids are exactly like what you imagine them to be. Sensationalistic, big print, lots of scandal. And I will tell you, at least once a week, you will see a headline of about Kambal Ahas, which is like, woman gives birth to like a baby and a snake. And so I thought it was like, oh, I guess it's just folklore because you also get sex scandals and things like that. So you don't really believe it. But apparently there are folkloric roots that go way, way, way back. And there are also, and even in the most famous Kambal Ahas story, which we'll dig in later on, there are anthropological implications.
What?
So it's very cool. So
there a lot of indigenous species of snakes in the Philippines?
Yes, there are. The Kambal Ahas is, there are a lot of indigenous species. We're a rainforest, we're a tropical one. But I think really came from this inherent fear of snakes in the Philippines.
Fear of snakes.
Fear of snakes because they hang out with us.
Yeah.
Almost everyone I know, or at least you will know one person, for you it can be me, who have found a snake in their house.
Yeah.
And for many people, it's a reticulated python or sawa.
I'm sure we found some in like fields
beside
the house.
I'm sure you did.
People eat snakes, don't they?
Yes, they do. I mean, so I'll be digging into a few articles and we'll post all the references.
Was this like Abante articles or something?
No. This is an article from The Medium.
Okay.
From The Medium. But also I'll be digging a little bit into,
I mean, The Medium is like pretty, like it's crowdsourced, isn't it?
The Medium is, you know, a mixed bag.
You don't say The Medium like it's The New York Times.
No. But you know how I know that this guy who wrote it, and he didn't even put his full name. His surname is, it's R. Lowe. And I was like, Ricky Lowe? But his following was not that big, so I don't think it was Ricky Lowe. But we'll refer to the article here on the show notes. But the fact that, look at all his references.
So it was a well-researched article.
It was well-researched, you know, all the way from YouTube, GMA Public Affairs, to William Henry Scott, to Ed Yong. So okay. Like really robust research. And then I'll be touching also on a research that was a research paper from Germany.
Okay.
Called The Snake Twins of the Philippines, Observations of the Alter Ego Complex.
I'm very excited because, I mean, is it unique to the Philippines, this idea of Kambal Ahas?
Seems like
why?
It. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Seems
I'm
like
excited.
It. Well, so let me set the stage for you.
All right.
About, like, my growing up years. And your growing up years, but you might have been too young to remember. So, this is an article. By the way, it's a great article. That was just a year old, like just last year was put out. So, the title of the article, the partial title of the article is Real Life Monsters of Manila That Created the Snake Man of Robinson's Galleria.
We talked about this.
Yes. So it's the 90s. So think of the time and place. The era that defined 90s kids. So this was like...
I have been to Robinson's Galleria.
Yes. I used to work on top of Robinson's Galleria. This is a mall in like... So... For those of you who haven't been to Manila recently, so if you remember the EDSA Revolution of 1986, that's where people rose up to overthrow the dictator, whose son is now president. And there is a big statue of the Virgin Mary.
So triggering.
I know, I'm so triggered. There's a big statue of the Virgin Mary there, and there's like a massive highway right there. And there's a mall right behind it called Robinson's Galleria.
It's Ortigas.
On Ortigas Corner, EDSA. And it was a big mall in the 90s, and it's owned by this giant family called the Gokongways, and they own Cebu Pacific, they own URC, so Jack and Jill Chips, among many things, and many other holdings and companies also. And it's right next to, it's not right next to, but it's near schools, a school, Poveda. It's also near the ADB, and it's near Mega Mall.
ADB, Asian Development
Bank. Asian Development Bank, yes. And then my office, when I worked in L'Oreal and when I worked in that other company, was right on top of that also. Okay. So in the 90s, this was apparently the quintessential 90s urban legend.
Uh-huh.
So in the 90s, what other things were popular? Marimar, which we talked about
a
bit. Marimar was like 19...
With Talia.
Right, with Talia, 1996, 1997. The eraser heads were coming up.
Marimar is a super famous telenovela about a girl, like an impoverished girl living in like...
The Playa in Acapulco. Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yes. By Talia. Talia, the super famous Mexican superstar. The Eraserheads were like the band that kind of triggered this resurgence of OPM, original Filipino music, band music, at least when I was growing up. The popular TV show was Home Along the Riles.
Oh my God. Home Alone.
Starring Dolphy.
Eric Quizon.
Yes.
What's the guy's name? Smokey Manaloto.
Smokey Manaloto. And then their next
Fernando,
their neighbor.
Fernando.
No, yes. Huh?
Yeah. The office mate. Right?
Yes, yes.
And the Guapings.
Eric Fructoso. No, Home Alone. This is Home Alone.
Eric Fructoso. Mark Anthony Mapa. Fernandez.
And who's the other one?
Mark Anthony Fernandez.
No, but Zhao wasn't a real Guaping. He was like sort of
the replacement.
The replacement.
Oh, no.
There was another Guaping.
Wait, when are we going to get to the Kambal
Ahas? Okay, so this was the time and place. And then, of course, the Kambal Ahas. And I love this description. So I'm going to read aloud from this article for a little bit. And then there is the Robinson Snake Man. The bloodthirsty half-man. Half snake hybrid, said to lurk under Robinson's Galleria Mall, which devoured young women through a Wile E. Coyote style trapdoor in the mall's dressing room. And it would drop unsuspecting victims right into the snake man's dungeon. And they said it was the son of the founder of the mall, the late John Gokongwei, and he's the patriarch of the family. He has since passed away.
Okay.
And it was Kakambal na Ahas, or the twin snake
of the guy.
Of the woman, Robina Gokongwei Pe.
Who's still alive.
She runs the magazine, Summit Publishing, and she runs a lot. Each child runs several parts of the business. And so she runs Summit Publishing, which published Budget's book, among other things.
So they're fraternal twins.
Yes. So they were, one would hope. So the legend is she was born and then the snake slithered out also after her.
I didn't realize that the Kambal Ahas is a half man, half snake. So is it like upper half man, lower half snake?
Like a mermaid.
Like the mermaids that we talked about.
Yes. But also some depictions say that he's like, he kind of looks like a lizard man. Mm-hmm. So like he's got snake-like features. So like ridges. But he had like a human face and like legs. So he was like a shokoi, but a snake.
Ah, so it's the upper half that's snake-like and the lower half that's man.
Or like they're all snake. They're all like, it's a man with like snake characteristics. Scaly skin, fingers, you know. So he's not like a snake.
Wouldn't he be just like a lizard man then?
Yeah, but then he has like a cobra thing, okay. Like a hood, I think I call it, you know.
How do you know snake. What he looks like?
There are depictions in I'm referring particularly
Does
to the
Klesa
depiction.
Does he look like Voldemort?
No, he looks more like a Kardashian from Star Trek.
No!
So if you guys look up, if you guys have read the first, this is the first or second Trece comic. He's there. He's wearing a suit.
Ah, so that's the Trece interpretation.
That's the Trece interpretation.
It's not necessarily the account.
Not necessarily the account. Because no one's really seen it, right? It's just, it's all urban legend. It's never been like factually confirmed. So what they would say is that this guy just would move through the underbelly of the mall and that he would keep the women in the dressing rooms as a prisoners. But also that the snake would lay golden eggs.
But he's a boy.
He's a boy. He's the boy twin of Robina.
But the boy twin would lay eggs?
Yes.
Do male snakes lay eggs?
I have no idea. I mean, how far are we suspending our disbelief? Right? What if he's a hermaphrodite snake and he lays and fertilizes
his own egg? I'm just a supernatural investigative journalist over here trying to understand the parameters of this world building.
In the Trece comic, he's wearing a freaking suit.
Wait, what are the rules here?
He's wearing a suit.
Okay, so.
Okay, so it's a conspiracy theory.
If I don't move us along, we'll never move.
We won't move along. And I said this was gonna be a short episode, but like if you talk to people back then, people who worked in Robinsons, they said people were really scared. Like their sales really went down, and the Robinsons people said it was a PR nightmare. And I was like, yeah.
Wait, how did it start? How did the story start?
So it's not for sure.
Okay.
But a lot of people are saying that SM started it.
I mean, I was going to say, is it competitive sabotage?
A lot of people say SM started it.
We don't know if it's SM.
We don't know if it's true.
We have to say, allegedly.
Allegedly. The competitor started the rumor. And
But that's so wild. How do we beat this mall?
And later on, there's this great analysis of it. Because it really preyed on the poor's mistrust of the rich. So they said, why? And it's also related to our Toyol story, to the Tiyanak story of Eat Me. No.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's the poor's mistrust of the rich. Why else would you be so successful? And why else would you have all these riches and this mall and
if
this
you didn't have a hidden
If you didn't have
secret.
A hidden magical thing that you gave birth to after your child. So maybe we talk a little bit about, before we dive into like the anthropological analysis, what was the folkloric background of Kambal Ahas? Because this was not the first time it existed. In 1980, like I mentioned, in 1988, there was a academic paper by a German anthropologist and psychologist. And he wrote, like, there are two things. It's a little reductive, but there are two things that German people are like that make them super interested in the Philippines. Only two things. One thing was the faith healers, which are sort of like witch doctors or like that would do operations without razors or lances and things like that. And the other one was the weird belief of Kambal Ahas, where
that's a pretty broad generalization.
I know, right? There are other things, but also like Kambal Ahas is so niche. But so what they did, what this researcher did was he really went to different areas in the provinces and spoke to people who have accounts of witnessing Kambal-ahas.
Okay.
There was even, when he was looking for the guy who, Mr. Ernesto V, who was supposed to be a Kambal-ahas, have a Kambal-ahas, he was even brought to that person by two ladies who worked in the Department of Agriculture. So like two government, as if he was like lending credibility to the account.
Yeah, they were like, well, they work in the Department of Agriculture.
Two nice ladies who work in the Department of Agriculture. And Ernesto V was like, yeah, you know, when my mom gave birth to me, there was a snake also there, and then they shared a cradle with them. So the belief is, diba, we have a belief in ancestors, those and things like that. And if the family is worthy, the ancestor is reborn as the snake twin of the next generation to give guidance, mm-hmm. protection mm-hmm. of that child. And that child is supposed to be like super special.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, Ernesto V, I was like, oh, is he special? What does he do? He's a carpenter.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. That's
hey, there's something wrong with being.
I know, but I thought
special
he was going to be
not
like,
mean rich and successful.
I mean, he was nice enough to be known by the two ladies from the Department of Agriculture. But, you know, I thought he would be a cult leader, you know, because that's okay. the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that will make you like a cult leader. And okay. there are tons of cults in the Philippines. So there
maybe
were
just, he just chose not to use his powers for evil.
His snake powers for evil. Yeah. And then he says that the snake visits him. Bah.
Okay.
The snake was not there.
Mm-hmm.
When he was interviewed by the anthropologist.
So, why a snake?
So, why a snake?
Yes.
Great question. So, let me
start. And what does a snake do throughout your life, aside from give you advice?
Give you luck in Robinson's, is supposed not and give you even ha- advice.
So,
like,
do you have to, like, bring the snake up?
It
like do you have to carry the snake with you all the time?
No.
Do you have to take care of the snake?
Like, no, some people with... I've read some tabloid accounts where the mom of the snake would express breast milk for the snake to drink. Ew, no. I don't even know if snakes drink milk. But she would express
they're
it.
They're not mammalian.
No, they're not. But they came out of your vag, and it was just like, maybe how unsanitary must childbirth have been back in the day? Yeah. But like, this was the 80s. This was an 80s newspaper. Yeah. That
was it just because snakes just ended up everywhere and they randomly, like, how would
sometimes
this
it's
have
sometimes it's like when women give birth near the forest, if their houses are like at the edge of the forest,
I guess.
And then there's like a bowl where in the bottom of the foot of the bed, and then when the baby comes out, there's like the placenta, all the viscera comes out, and maybe the snake likes to go into warm water. Like in our house in Batangas, mm-hmm. when we were building our pool,
yeah.
there we frequently found snakes in the pool, and like, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
So maybe the snake just found its way into that tub. Childbirth is a long process, and yeah. it's very arduous. So maybe they didn't notice.
That's true.
Maybe there's no indoor lighting. So the snake just like,
such
oh,
a
pool.
Okay, so then you were yeah. getting into why a snake.
Yes, so why a snake? So the snake has actually like a lot of, it's rooted in the fear of snakes embedded in Filipino culture, right? So there is this great article of like how prevalent, but also how scary they were in the Philippines. And it was highlighted with this Agdat tribe, mm-hmm. right? The Agdat tribe are in the Sierra Madre, so in the north of Luzon regions. Sierra Madre's sister mountains.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. it's basically this, I think
it's a range.
It's the longest mountain range in
yes.
the Philippines.
Yeah.
When you land, actually, you already see the start of the Sierra Madre.
Yeah.
When you land in the Ia.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it goes all the way up north, like yeah. vertically, yeah. north to south, right? Yeah. So there is this family, an Agdat guy, his family has on display a 23-foot long reticulated python that he caught near his mountain range. And anthropologist Thomas Headland reported that as recently as the 70s, 1 out of 4 men in the region have been attacked by 25 to 30-foot snakes. 1 out of 4 guys.
What?
So like if it was us, one other guy, let's say it's Grace, at least one of us has been attacked by 25 to 30-foot python. And then even my dad, when he was growing up in Batangas, he said one time he and his friends were hanging out. They were going through the forest, which is just like next to their house.
Yeah.
And they found bloated, reticulated python,
yeah.
which was not 25 to 30 feet, but he said at least 12 feet long.
Yeah. And a baby.
Yeah, a juvenile. But they found that they could come up to it because it had just fed.
Yeah, I was going to say bloated or just like eaten.
They thought it was bloated and dead, but it had just eaten because it was, they saw it was still breathing. And they said, and it was very, for me, visually, it reminded me of The Little Prince.
Yeah.
Because they said, there was like, they thought it was a person-shaped bloat, like shape in the python. So of course they panicked. They said, what if it had eaten a child? What if it had eaten a child? Maybe the child is okay. Because apparently they said it takes 6 months
to fully digest
a thing. So like, so he said, that's why people can keep pythons as pets, because as long as they're fed, they're actually really harmless. So if you see it like getting thick, you know, just feed it a chicken or something and it'll be okay for like a couple of months.
So what was it
inside? It was a goat. Okay. But it was also still fresh because it still had like skin. It wasn't like digested in juices. Yeah. So my dad says it probably had just fed. But they were like really stressed out because it was like, I'm making like a meter and a half long. And it was the circumference of like a child's body. But it was a goat.
Okay.
And he was like, so that's where our goat went. So their goat was missing. And they're like, that's where the goat went.
So it's
very real. This is like a story from my dad from like the 60s.
So the pythons are very prevalent.
Very prevalent and very real. And Filipinos in rural areas have long had a fear of snakes, because they are just around and they don't seem to have a fear of humans. In fact, some of the largest species, largest specimens of the reticulated pythons have been found in the Philippines.
Yeah, they're the longest snakes in the world.
Yes, they are.
They're indigenous to Southeast Asia, yes. I think, the tropical.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I thought before they were indigenous in the Borneo Islands.
It's possible.
But apparently, they just travel there, but they're more indigenous to these islands. And one of the hypotheses is why they get so big is because we have an abundance of large herbivores like herb.
Yeah.
Like deer, wild pigs, and they have no competition for the large herbivores. Because in other countries, like in India, in some parts of Malaysia, there are tigers.
Because we don't have like big cats here.
We don't have big cats. Yeah. We have little cats. And they eat coffee and poop.
Yeah.
They have, we only have civet cats. Those are the biggest things we have. And then the We don't have bobcats.
We don't have a lot of big carnivores. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, I guess crocodile, buaya, but that's a very limited area.
Yeah.
And they're always by water, where the rest of the country is, especially in the mountains.
That's very interesting. Actually, I've never thought about that. You're right.
Right? So that's why
there
they're
aren't
so big.
There are not a lot of carnivores.
We never had. Like here in Singapore, there were
bears,
lions
even?
And mountain cats. No, yeah. We don't have bears. So yeah, so that's why the python like thrived in the Philippines. So for a long part of the Philippines history, we've lived in fear of man-eating snakes. I mean,
monkey-eating eagles.
Because of the snake's power and ferocity, ancient Filipinos worshipped the python and believed that spirits of their ancestors or umalagad. So in my head, it's like alagad, umalagad.
Alagad meaning?
It means the spirits of their ancestors.
Okay.
Like anito, per definition, would sometimes reincarnate as a snake, sharing the womb with a human they were supposed to protect and provide supernatural powers with and good fortune.
Alagad means disciple or follower.
Yeah. But it's umalagad is a verb. Yeah, to follow. Maybe it becomes a follower of yours.
It's
a
an
servant.
Unlapi.
Unlapi. It's not a gitlapi.
It's a type of panlapi.
That is at the start. Una.
What's the English of panlapi?
It's a prefix.
Yeah,
a prefix
it
or
is
a suffix. Umlapi is a prefix. Suffix is the general. Gitlapi. There's no English word for it because it's a.
It's an affix. Right? Which is, what do you add at the start, middle, or end of a word to kind of change the tense or form?
Like ulan is rain. If it rained, if the action of raining, umulan.
Yeah. I love it. Filipino.
Undapi.
One-on-one.
There's a gitlapi.
And there's a hulapi.
A last in the end, yes.
Yeah. In case you guys wanted to know, or if you're
Filipino grandma.
We know a lot of you are halfies over there. If you're trying to learn the Filipino language, you're welcome.
Yes. So like, so for Taglish, it's when people say make after the, before the verb. So for example, if it's, again, ulan, to use ulan. If they don't know how to say umulan, they say it make ulan.
No, they never say that. It's when it's a, it's an
action.
It's an action
make
verb.
Tusok.
Make tusok the fish balls.
Make tusok the
which
fish
balls. Which is a stereotype for Povedans. We circle right back.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it a stereotype for Povedans or
Ikans? No, it's just Konyos.
Anyway.
Povedans, I wouldn't be surprised.
Where were we?
Okay, so that's one explanation why that made sense for the Gokongwei family. Because of all the good fortune. Python attacks on humans are now less common, thank God, because of urbanization and destruction of the natural habitat. But the fear and reverence are carried because a lot of rural Filipinos carry their beliefs with them to Metro Manila.
I have a question. So, yes. Why was it perceived to be a good thing rather than a bad thing if they feared snakes?
Because the child would thrive?
No, but why was that the assumption? Because I am trying to connect the dots between they're afraid of snakes,
mm-hmm.
but if you have a snake with you at childbirth, it's a blessing and not a curse. Do you know? Does it say anywhere?
No, it doesn't say. It only says like because of the perceived power of the snake, and then it comes into your family.
Yeah, I guess because they're so scary, they must be powerful. So if you have one, or I guess if you do see a snake,
it's our snake.
At childbirth, it feels much more tame,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, because
so
it's
then it doesn't feel scary. So it feels more benevolent rather than malevolent.
To be honest, and also snakes are very cuddly because of your body warmth. Because they're cold-blooded animals, so they will really cuddle up to you.
I've never heard that.
My friend keeps pythons.
Snake is cuddly.
Yeah, my friend keeps pythons. She has pythons.
They'll cuddle
dogs.
You to death.
Yes, if you don't feed them. But she said, I get more cuddles from my python than I do from my dog. I said, maybe because you got a snake wrapped around you, so your dog won't come near you.
I thought that the sentence was going to end differently. Like, I get more cuddles from my snake than I get from my boyfriend. And I'm like, that's an you issue.
That's a you issue. That's not a snake issue. But like you said also, it's like they probably grew up together, so they're used
to
humans.
Maybe it makes a snake more accessible, so they're like, ooh, this must be a blessing that something so powerful will deign
to
grant
bless
us their presence.
And didn't eat us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, it's very interesting in that...
Are there stories of people who grew up with their snakes?
Yes, there's tons.
Their twin snakes?
Yeah. I mean, but it's always the same story.
Okay.
It's always the same story of like...
But they
the
seem
snake
to be...
is born, then they grow up, and then when they're bigger, they leave, but they come back.
But other than this...
They never harm the family.
This Robinson's urban legend. They seem to be like not, to your point, not very prominent people.
No.
Right? They're just like special in their own right, within their village, within their families.
There's one story where it was a girl, and also apart from the fact that she had a snake twin, she was also breech birth, which is called suhe in the Philippines, and also...
Which means
they have magical powers.
No, I mean, physically, what does
physically,
that mean?
Oh, sorry. Physically, it means the baby was born legs first, not head first. They have minimum powers, but then they also have like level up powers. Their minimum power is if you're eating fish and you get a fish, like a
fish bone
stuck in your throat.
I hate that.
I've never had it happen to me.
Oh, God, I hate it.
But I have a cousin who's breech birth.
And then
so
they make you like eat like so much.
You eat a
banana or
and then
rice.
They bring in my cousin who has this minimal magical power. And then she will she gets some Vicks Vapor Rub, and she'll rub your throat, and then the fin goes away.
That would be so annoying if I was her.
She gets called randomly entire...
I mean, like, you're calling me again for, like, stop eating fish. Stop eating bangus.
My lolo also always got that. And then he's always like, Wagin yung si Loris, like, just, can you call Loris? And she's like, ah. Oh. And she was a kid. She's my age. She was like 9 years old and she had like her kit. She had her kit and she would like, and then she would like have a banana or eat the banana.
She would like get, charge like, for her kit, services.
And then she would rub. No, but then isn't that the thing with the Philippines, oh, yeah, with faith healers?
Yeah, but like you're taking advantage of it, like.
A 9 year old. Yeah. So she was just like, oh. And then she was like so over it.
Yeah.
I've never seen her do it like as a grown up.
Yeah.
I only remember it vividly like as a child. So Loris, if you're hearing this, if hi, you still have, hi. But there was a, so anyway, so this story I read in the tabloid, and this was, I think, 1990, it's like 1993, 1994. Mm. Not only did she have kambal ahas, but she was also breech birth. Okay. And so she was considered like magical, like, okay, really magical. So she was sort of like the neighborhood witch doctor.
Oh, okay.
And then sometimes if you have a question, mm-hmm, she would, and the snake was there because the snake hung out in her house.
Okay.
She would whisper to the snake and the snake would whisper back to her and she would tell you the answer.
I love the theatrics.
Right?
I love it. That's great.
I wonder if she really did hear.
That's great theatricality.
Right? But that was the only one.
But hey, if she this is a ruse and yeah, this is a good. This is a nice. People appreciate the theatrics.
I do
because they want to believe. Like, so you have to give them reasons to believe you.
What, right, if it's like a really obvious question? Like, should I buy this block of gold from my neighbor who said it's real Yamashita gold? She's like, "Hang on." The snake was like, "Is she serious with this question? That's a stupid question." My snake says. My snake says. And then she also sometimes wears like a skinny blouse.
Oh no. Oh no.
Like she's really into it.
I love it.
She's really into it. Anyway.
She should walk around with like rattles.
She walks around with a snake. Like Britney Spears.
I love it.
I can't. But it's a python. It's essentially a python.
Yeah.
So that those are the stories. So one interesting thing for me is like, diba, a lot of these stories have like either a social function or is an explanation for a social phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So like, remember when we were talking about Manananggal and how I said that there was a rumor before in our area in Batangas, Cavite, like that border area.
Okay.
That there was Manananggal there. But it turns out that there was like a military outpost for Americans. And that also happened, they said, in Sikihor and Capiz, where there were a lot of like monsters and aswangs there. But it turns out there were like military listening posts and outposts and, mm-hmm, stuff like that. So, but sometimes it's like the reverse. So there's this theory that the Robinson snake was an allegory for kidnappings and violent crimes in Manila after the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a huge bout of kidnappings, particularly for rich Chinese people. And it said like after the 80s and 90s, the biggest issue after EDSA revolution and the destabilization that happened shortly afterwards, crime was one of President Ramos's most urgent problems. The Philippines begins to pull its economy together and normalize some of the workings of the government. Continuing street crime, violent bank robberies, carjackings, and kidnappings have added to the atmosphere of lawlessness. Because with the prosperity that came in,
mm-hmm,
with the stabilization after Marcos, there was prosperity of the country, but also overseas foreign workers.
Yeah.
That was the big wave also. And all the remittances gave people a lot of money back here.
Okay.
And so that gave a rise to kidnappings and carnappings.
Yeah.
And it seems as if the Filipino Chinese were targeted, mm-hmm, because they largely kept to themselves, and so they weren't necessarily as perceived influential as like locals or Spanish descended people who were like politicians or connected to the military. So it was usually, again, in this analysis, the Chinese community would keep to themselves,
okay,
and sort out problems within themselves.
Okay.
And so if they get kidnapped, it was less likely that they would report it to the police because the police or authorities might silip or like might take a peek at their own operations, which may not always be legit as well.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Right? So that's one of the theories why they were really easy, because they were kidnapping a lot of people before it was spread out. They would kidnap all sorts of people. But then
So many syndicates grew at that time.
So, which brings me to a sidebar, which is the most genius kidnapping story I've ever heard.
Okay.
And I'm sure I've told you this, but I don't think I've told this on the podcast. So correct me if I'm wrong. In the company that I worked with before, one of our friends, Ange, who also worked in our other company, she, you know when you're doing icebreaker questions?
Yeah.
And they ask you a question like, just tell me a brand that describes you, which is the shittiest one. So they asked the table, tell us of a time, like the icebreaker question was like, when you were your most resourceful. And then so she tells the story.
Of when she got kidnapped?
When she got kidnapped. So
you've never told me this.
I've never told you this. This is the best story. This is the best story. So in the mid-90s, she was not kidnapped by a snake, by the way. In the mid-90s.
As far as we know.
In the mid-90s, she was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And she went to a Chinese school.
Okay.
And so the syndicates used to go outside of Chinese schools, waiting for kids.
That's horrible.
Not even really targeting anyone in particular.
They just wait to see.
They just
whoever.
Wait to see who's like sort of alone.
Oh my god!
And then they would fetch the get the kid, and of course the kid will always have identification.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll call the person. And they're going to demand ransom. And they don't. The trick is they don't demand a lot. They'll demand like the minimum amount you can withdraw from your ATM. So the amount of time they keep the kid is also very short. And of course, the amount of time to find them is also very short. And I think, so it's a large turnover business model. So they pick up Ange, they hog tie her, they blindfold her, they tie her mouth. And
that
then,
is so fucking traumatic.
It's super scary, right? And her cousin had just been kidnapped the previous month.
Oh my God.
So she was really scared. Her cousin came back, but not unscathed. So she was really scared. So she knew she had to, you know, do something to get away as soon as possible. And she remembered that her other cousin the previous week had an epileptic seizure and everyone freaked out. So she said, I'll just pretend.
Oh my God.
I'm having an epileptic seizure. I remember what it looked like. And then they'll freak out and they'll just dump me.
Okay.
So what she did was while the thing was in her mouth, the rag was in her mouth, she started building up saliva. This was her big strategy. She was building up saliva.
Oh my God.
Because she remembered the foam that was the very distinct. But then she started bucking her body, like bucking like she was possessed. So she was like bucking. And they were like, oh no, what's happening? They put down the gag on her mouth. Uh-huh. And then she tried to make bubbles out of her mouth, but she said it was just like a pathetic drizzle of saliva out. And she was so disappointed with herself. She said, I should have gone like more bubbles or something.
She should have gargled.
I said you should have had like soap in your, I don't know, or like a toothpaste in your mouth. And then they panicked soon, true enough. And her school was very near Cardinal Santos Hospital.
Yeah.
So the van drove up to Cardinal Santos. While it was still rolling,
they
opened up
her?
The van and they rolled her.
Oh my God.
She was still hogtied, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So she like fell on her face. And she rolled, and then they drove away. And of course, they drove away. She didn't get the license plate. Not like there were no details that she could get.
Oh my God, good job, Ange.
Right? It's so smart. So what she did was she just...
How can a 11-year-old kid have that kind of presence of mind?
That's resourcefulness. So this is what we were living in the 90s. This is what they were living in particular. I never thought I would be kidnapped. I don't go to a Chinese school. I've never had that worry. But they grew up with that worry. And also, never been to the Robinson's Galleria.
You've never been.
She's never been.
Oh, she's never been.
And she's like, no, you can't. Oh, you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't go to Robinson.
You know what's so funny to me is, remember you said
But
this?
Wait, so she, oh. What she did was she stood up. She walked to the emergency room door. She was like, excuse me, I just got kidnapped. Can we call my Lola? And they had to keep her overnight because she had like scrapes and bruises on her face from like falling down. But
oh
then she was
God.
Like released just the next day. So yeah.
Crazy.
But anyway, sorry, you were saying.
Oh, it's just, I was just thinking about how one of the theories is that it's a competitive activity, right? Like, it's the equivalent today of like hiring a troll farm to like attack your competitor, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, like, how did that boardroom discussion go?
Yeah, what's that brainstorming, right?
Like, what do we do to beat this competition?
It's, well, they're a family. Like, they're like,
someone's I'll take care of it. Yeah, I have an idea.
Yeah. I have an idea. This
or
is
did
great.
They pitch it? They're like, here's what you should do. I don't know. I don't.
What's the brief?
Right? Like, what are the options that you? That you said,
I don't know.
No,
the other ones could be like bad quality product.
They're like, no, it can't be anything related to something they can improve.
Their employees, exactly. Because, like, if you say, like, oh, their employees don't have a union, so they only hire El Shaddai, so that's, you know, that's true, but they can sort that out. So, also, so one of the things that were covered up was like they had answers, there were answers to the conspiracy for everything that you could potentially throw at it, right? So let's say, man, that's not true. Why if people were disappearing,
uh-huh,
why aren't people
reporting it
or talking about it? There was this big rumor that Alice Dixon,
yeah,
who was a big celebrity back in the 90s, was one of those people who were kidnapped, but she was set free because she negotiated her way out. She herself has gone forward and said it's really, really not true. But also that actually made her a little bit more famous too during that time. So they said, and then so, you know, if you interview, so there are these YouTube videos of like news reports back in the 90s. Everyone has the best hair, by the way, in the 90s.
I mean, amazing skin. The height of hair.
But like everyone had amazing skin in the 90s. Like, what were you eating? Why is your skin so good? Also, everyone was really skinny in the 80s and 90s. I'm just like blown away. Anyway, so they asked,
no, they only hired skinny people.
No, these were like man on the street. Okay. This was like man on the street, like they, but also they were starving. Anyways, so you ask them, oh, but you know, they're like, oh no, I would never go to Robinson's Galleria. And they said, but you know, Alice Dixon said that it wasn't true and she's fine now. And they said, well, of course she says that they paid her off and the snake gave her such a successful career. So they're like,
interesting how people want to believe this story.
Yeah, they really want to believe it.
They choose to believe it.
But it's really interesting because it's like, it's the
have
same.
Have you seen any of the shows and movies that were made about Kambal Ahas?
They didn't make a lot of Kambal Ahas movies. They
you
didn't
know what?
Make a
they
lot
made
of their... Valentina, which was like a Medusa myth.
There's a lot of like small Zuma shows and episodes,
mm-hmm,
about Kambal Ahas.
Yeah, there are. And there are a lot of like true to life stories on YouTube. If you just Google the Kambal Ahas, there's a lot of true story Kambal Ahas.
Yeah.
So you can watch those.
But they always inevitably, I mean, this is because it's a soap opera on TV,
yeah,
right? But there's always inevitably like the Kambal Ahas wants to steal the, right, identity and the,
yes,
life of like,
yes,
the human or
because
whatever
of the transformation aspect of,
yeah,
molting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Ahas is always a contrabida, always a bad guy.
Yeah, actually. That's true.
But I did read some stories of like the Kambal Ahas wanted to live free. And then because the sibling loved them, they would say like, okay, you can go free now.
But
and
like,
they
why
unlucky
would
anymore.
Why would they be beholden to preserve the luck in the family?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why they wouldn't want. So sometimes people. That's why they feed the Kambal
Ahas. Does the Kambal Ahas die then when the twin dies as well?
I haven't seen anything that says that, because usually a lot
because
of the Kambal Ahas stories would like the snake would leave before the twin dies, or like if the twin dies, or. Usually the Ahas dies before the twin. So a lot of the Kambal Ahas stories is the...
Do snakes live for long?
The snake... Sorry?
Do snakes live
not as long as humans, but 20, 25 years. But the reticulated python can live for a long, long, long time.
Because
like,
I was
going to
ask, like,
Kambal
are there any like multi-generational...
That would be fun.
Kambal
no.
Ahas.
No, I don't think so. Not. But
I mean, look. They're twins skip a generation, right? So
yeah.
Is it possible to have like two Kambal Ahas?
Two, both of them have Kambal Ahas. Or like, that's quadruplet. Or like two batches.
Yeah.
Why not? If it's unsanitary. But a lot of the stories I would say 50 to 80% of the stories in the tabloids, the Kambal Ahas, the snake would be found after in like the placenta or whatever then. So,
I mean, okay. Is it really an ahas or is it the umbilical cord?
Or like, is it just like clots of blood?
Yeah. What if it's just like...
It's gross. Giving birth is gross.
What
I can tell you.
It's just like viscera?
Yeah.
You know.
Placenta looks gross.
Yeah.
And they didn't...
Umbilical cord?
Yeah.
Maybe it originated because they kept seeing umbilical cords and they were like, what the heck is this?
I don't know. I think it's normal. Everyone had umbilical cords.
That's true, actually.
So, but yeah, it could be viscera or like lack of education. So yeah, so that's, you know, there's also like some commentary here about it was like a separating factor for the have and have nots to think that the Robinson's folks could not possibly be that lucky and that smart in business that they got
by
so
their
rich
own.
On their own steam.
Yeah.
If you talk to the sales ladies during that time, there's also this other awesome video from the 90s. The sales ladies were like, yeah, the sales really went down during that time. The people really didn't come in. But you know, it's just a story. And then the reporter goes, would you go to the dressing room by yourself? And then they said,
is it just
no.
Like the one dressing room?
It was the ladies' department dressing room. Because the snake only ate ladies.
Wait, so there was a dressing room in the...
There was like a bank of dressing rooms in the
ladies'
section.
Departments are. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they just like demolish that area?
No, you know what
they
did.
Make it an open area.
Wait, let me finish this part first. So they said, they asked the sales ladies, would you go into the dressing room by yourself?
Mm.
No. The sales ladies would not go by themselves. And the customers...
Someone has to clean it.
And the... No. Sometimes you have to like pick up, you know, when people, after
yeah.
people dress up and you have to get the clothes yeah. that they fitted. They would not. They always went in pairs.
Ah.
And then the customers also would not go by themselves. They were like, can you stand outside the door? And then eventually, the doors used to be like head to foot. And then they made them like little, just like chest to knee or chest to... waist
uh-huh.
so that they can be seen by all times by the sales lady. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, if it were me, I would just have demolished that entire dressing room section. I would have moved.
But then the people would say, they own the building. They can just put the pipes to go to the dungeon anywhere. There was like a
the
reason.
Dungeon.
The dungeon where I imagine the snake is just like, standing at the chute.
And the people who claim these accounts, like, where did they say their sources were?
They didn't say. There was like, oh, I heard a sales lady said this, or like a guard said that. But they never actually had any people who would go for it. And I saw it by myself. I was eaten by a snake or like whatever. It was always like, oh, of course no one comes forward because they paid them off because they're rich. Some people say they saw the golden egg, but you know, that hasn't been corroborated.
But you're right. It's very like toyol. So we talked about that in episode 3, Eat Me Baby One More Time.
Yes.
Where we talk about like childlike monsters, right? And the toyol is basically like a baby-like creature that helps you steal riches and, you know, precious jewels or property from your neighbors. And so people say if someone, it's a Malaysian folklore.
Yeah.
If someone got rich or successful too fast, it's probably not because of their own hard work. It's, they probably have a toyol.
Yeah, supernatural means. So this wonderful article concludes in that, you know, even today people will still believe in a snake man myth, or at least the phenomenon of Kambal Ahas. Mm. Because it's easier for people to blame a singular supernatural reason than to live up to the fact that, well, the reason why they're successful is because they work hard, but also they were born into privilege, blah, blah, blah. And so as long as there's one thing to blame, as long as there's that one thing that you can rally people around, these types of myths will always exist because it's just easier. It's just easier for people to believe.
I think you're right. I think it's easier to say it's things outside of your control.
Yes.
Like, oh, I would never have been able to do that anyway because I don't have that kind of luck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't have like that kind of supernatural help or presence in my life. So
I'm not as successful as a carpenter as Ernesto
B. Yeah, it's not my fault.
Yeah. It's not my fault. I didn't have a
snake. Or it makes you feel better about like not being in as good a situation as other people. Or like, buti na lang, hindi ako, at least hindi ako kidnapin.
Uh-oh, exactly.
Like, sorry, that translates to, it's a good thing I'm not rich, otherwise I would be in danger of getting kidnapped.
Yep, exactly.
We create these kind of unhealthy ideas sometimes. Not necessarily like unhealthy, but like...
Coping mechanisms, I guess.
Coping mechanisms for our minds to deal with things that we would, you know... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's interesting. So I thought it was going to be a short one, but it's not a short one.
I thought you were going to talk about like the, you know, telenovelas and whatever.
No, because it's the same stories. It's the same stories over and over. And it wasn't really
unique. And it was in Trece, like you said, right?
Yes, yes, it was in Trece. In Trece, it's actually very fascinating because the Kambalahas in Trece is sort of like an informant, an underworld informant.
Mm.
And is like clued into,
I love it,
the world, the underworld, literally and figuratively. And he was in the know because he was rich. But he's like, he has like Rolexes and things like that. It was a very interesting depiction and fantasy playing out of like what it must be like to be a Robina son, but have to live underground. Like, you can't do, you give everyone luck and you give everyone money, but you can't enjoy
it. You can't live your own life or whatever.
So in the depiction, there was like his house was sort of like a bachelor pad. He's got like high tech things and surveillance, and it looked like a club.
Yeah.
And some people would go there and knew him, but then they have to like keep ultimate secrecy. And
I mean, this should be the Filipino version of like The Little Mermaid. Like, he just wants to be, you know,
where the people are.
Where the people are.
He wants to see.
Walking around on those.
What do you call them?
Oh, feet.
Anyway, so yes, so that's our Kambalaha story. If you have a Kambal, if you have a twin snake, let us know.
Do you know anyone personally who has a Kambalaha story?
No.
All right. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. I learned a lot.
Me too.
I don't know why. I never really was involved in stories of Kambalahas. Maybe because I wasn't as exposed to like the stories of like these Robinsons, mm-hmm. Kambalahas.
You're too young.
When was it? 90s?
91, 92.
You're a baby. I was like a toddler.
Yeah, I was like peak preteen. What is going on? What is this? Chismis.
And like the mall was like everyone's hangout, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was at the mall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it still is. And it also came up during this time where the mall was really becoming like this, the plaza, the modern day plaza. So, you know, there was a lot of confluence of events that made it such a sexy story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, OFW remittances, mm-hmm. people were getting money again, people were feeling safer. Then all of a sudden, no, you're not safe because a snake is going to eat you. So funny.
So did you like stop going to Robinson's?
No.
You still went?
Yeah.
But did also, you go to the ladies' dressing room by yourself?
Also, you know, the first time I went to the ladies' dressing room, I was like stomping on the floor, just trying to, but like hanging on, stomping.
So
and then I was trying to look at the mirror. Maybe it was behind that because there were some reports that it was behind the mirror while you were like, there's this narrative of like, you're looking at the mirror and then all of a sudden the mirror flips and you're looking into the eyes of the snake and then you get hypnotized by the snake and then he takes you. There was that other, it wasn't just the Wile E. Coyote.
You know what they should have made? This should have happened in the late 2000s when Twilight was happening, because I guarantee you, young adult fantasy swept away by the sexy snake guy who is,
I don't know if he's
evil,
sexy,
but not really that evil. Like,
but also rich.
I can imagine this happening. He is rich.
He's super
He'll
rich.
He'll bring you to his dungeon.
You can what's have that, all the cheese curls
what's
you
that
want.
Kinky movie on Netflix, 365 Days, he kidnaps you, but really he loves you.
Yes,
so
yes, yes,
what
yes.
can you do?
You can get anything you want. The Rubinas own everything. Ay, not the Rubinas. The Gokong Ways.
The Rubinas.
The Rubinas. I bet he has a private snake plane.
He's rich. Like, you know, it's like Beauty and the Beast. The only problem is he can't show his face to the public.
No. You know, also, he has no talking appliances.
But, you know, you can fix him.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I think that's your next adult fantasy novel right
God.
There.
it's like the Melania book. It's like,
where did you meet? At the mall.
Aww,
in the ladies' dressing room.
In the ladies' dressing room.
It sounds like the start of like a bad porn movie.
What do you like about him? He's very cuddly.
He really likes to snuggle beside me for warmth.
Yeah. He gives me all the presents I want.
You know, I get the golden egg every now and then. It's really nice. Anyway, before we end up in a place that we don't want to go. Probably should wrap up this episode. Thank you for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed that. As always, feel free to give us like any suggestions for topics or things that you'd want us to feature, react to, or cover. We get a lot of great ideas from mm-hmm. some of our listeners in topics that weren't even in the pipeline originally, for example. Yeah, yeah. So that's very fun. We have a surprise coming in like a couple of weeks. Hopefully you'll get to see it, because why? We're almost 1 year.
Almost 1 year. Can you believe
we're
it?
We're almost a year old.
Yeah, yeah,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
How did this happen?
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening.
Almost 1 year in like, what, 25 episodes? Good job, us.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Yes.
So wait for something exciting that's going to come that period. In the meantime, you know, where can they find this anima?
On Instagram and godsmustbecrazy.pod, on Facebook as well, and on Anchor FM. But you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts, Google Podcasts, Audible. Leave us a rating. That would be fantastic.
Or a review. We love
our
reviews.
It's so great. We're super excited whenever we get funny reviews. And share with your friends.
Yeah,
you know?
Your friends from the 90s. You used to go out in
the Robinson's Galleria with. They call it Rob. Like, are we going to Rob?
They still call it Rob.
The Povedans do. Right. Shout out to Pavette and friends. Go to Rob. Maybe you guys have any accounts. But yeah, share with your friends. And you know, now that traffic is back in Manila, people need things to listen to. So why not listen to this while you're passing Robinson's
Galleria? Also, shout out to Ange.
Shout out to Ange.
Congratulations.
You are so smart.
Always. On being a smart 11-year-old kid.
My favorite story. Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.